I'm thinking of creating a sign to take with me on Sunday, something to reference 28-3.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be great.
You might. So I'm writing it. I'm right in the end zone of the visiting team, and the visiting team are the Jets, as the Falcons. So I just get a 28-3 sign and just hang it by the end zone.
What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United podcast. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts. I'm your host, Jeff, and I am sober. I'm going to be sober for a while because apparently I drank my liver into oblivion. No, I don't know if it's alcohol, but I do have some health issues that I'll be drinking a lot of non-alcoholic beverages for a while. So the Saints' loss broke a 15-game October win streak dating back to 2016. This was the longest win streak in the NFL since Green Bay did it from 1960 to 1963. And the score of this game, 27-21, was the exact score of the Saints' last loss in October of 2016. When we lost 27-21 in Kansas City, a game that Jason and I and Damon were at. So three members of the Dome Patrol were in attendance at the Saints' last October loss, and Jason, Wes, and Gunn were all at the game this week. So I think we figured out that there can never be exactly three members of the Dome Patrol in attendance at a Saints game in October. Is there can be two, there can be four, but there can never be three.
Three, it's not the magic number.
Right? Not the magic number.
So how crazy is that, though, that the last loss was the exact same score? Like, it's just insane how things work out that way. Anyway, we did the game recap, instant reaction. We're going to do a little something different on these big shows now. We're not necessarily going to recap the game, but we will kind of cover like anything that changed from then to now. But first, let's put your seatbelts on. Let's keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number? Let's see.
I'm at work, so there is no number right now.
We are recording this early in the morning, so I don't think anybody's going to have a number. So I'm also going to make a quick change then. I'll say Gunn, welcome to the show. Scott, welcome to the show. Ben, welcome to the show. We don't have to go through numbers, right?
It's afternoon for Ben. He might have a number.
This is true. Ben, you got a number?
No. No.
He is wearing Daniels shirt, though.
So I am wearing it, yeah. I won't
tell right. number. So let's do a quick, I'll call it headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And we'll cover some of the little headline talking points related to either the game this week or the Saints in general. The first of which is, let's do some quick updates here. Rosas is finally gone. We signed Cody Parker. I heard
Parky,
sorry.
Classic Jeff.
Well, I was focusing more on my Rosas joke. I was going to say, like, he missed the parking lot on his way out or something.
Oh,
Parky. I guarantee you not a single person told him goodbye or shook his hand on the fucking way out. They weren't doing that while he was on the team. So no,
this is probably true. They probably called him before he even came in. They were like, look, don't even bother.
They probably texted him.
No, he texted them and they ghosted him.
He's like, just turned up. He just
changed the locks.
His fingerprint wasn't working.
In the building.
My key code isn't working. Nobody answers.
And then Sean Payton went over there and fucked his wife.
Oh, I thought Joe Horn did that. They send in Joe Horn.
Yeah, right. Joe Horn's on the payroll strictly for that.
You're right. All right. So Parkey was most recently with the Cleveland Browns last year, but he's most known for the double doink field goal in the 2018 playoffs for the Bears. Remember that?
Yes.
Double doink, boink, boink. That's our guy. Exactly. So I don't know if things are going to get that much better. I mean,
they can't get any worse.
At least Parkey hits the goalpost. Rosas completely misses.
Hey, just let Taysom Hill try kicking instead. Well, you know, just like let Parkey try a kick and then let Taysom try a kick.
Only if it's inside the 10.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful though. Taysom might stub his toe.
Right.
And then this kick is gonna drop short. The other team's gonna actually catch it and return it for a touchdown.
he's gonna fumble it somehow.
It'll be a fake. Oh god! All right. So then we also signed Divine Ozigbo, bringing it back. Interesting note about him is Jacksonville ran the ball with him one time. I mean, he hadn't played much at all anyway. But he's definitely a receiving running back. But it was curious because the Saints they need him to run.
Well, we just need a decent body with Jones going out 3 to 4 weeks.
I'm surprised it's only 3 to 4 weeks. I thought that was season sort of ending when he was in the car.
I mean, I'm sure they say 3 to 4 weeks, which means hi everybody,
right? Yeah, I thought Will Lutz was supposed to be back by now too.
He'll be back next year.
Yeah.
Don't we have somebody else on the roster? Is it Washington or whoever?
Yeah, but he's a receiver.
No, you're thinking of
Montgomery.
You're thinking of Montgomery.
Think of Montgomery.
That's right.
Jeff, are you sure you shouldn't be drinking?
I got a little nipsy on me.
If this is you sober, man.
How's that different than me being drunk?
Well, it seems worse.
See, y'all thought it was the alcohol. Nah, that's just my brain. All right. Another point that I want to bring up is something James sent in. He couldn't join us today. So he did text me his point.
Are you gonna say it with an accent?
I'm gonna. I would thought about that.
please don't.
Is the equivalent if I start with like
video chaps?
Cheerio, chaps, right? The equivalent of them of like Dan and James accusing us saying like howdy y'all for everything we say.
You know, we try to do British accents. I want to hear the British guys try to do an American accent.
Yeah, Ben. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sober. Give me a couple of drinks. Get me a number, and I'll start.
Oh, just try. Oh. Just try. Just try. Come on.
I don't do peer pressure.
Well, hey, look. That means
it's on not the peer pressure.
On the instant reaction show, he's got to bring it.
Yeah. You need a host.
I might not be on the instant reaction this week.
What happened this time?
We'll get to that later.
Okay. All right.
I am going to be on it, but it'll be a different circumstance. I'll get to that later as well.
Teaser. Wow. What's going on, y'all? I might not be on it because I might be dead.
My liver might stop functioning. I might not be here.
We can all have our fingers crossed.
All right, fuck you, buddy.
Here's James's point. Agree, disagree. I'm going to read it verbatim. I'm going to reserve my judgment and let you guys talk about it because I had a big conversation with him about it. All right, so he says, so my point is this. This is James. Do we have a Drew Brees problem? As in, Drew has always been able to rein Peyton in to a certain extent as Drew had such control over the game plan. We don't have that anymore, and neither Winston nor Hill have that level of control over the offense. So it allows Peyton to be too cute for his own good? Our two wins this year have been built on strong running games, so why have we gone away from that? It's because Peyton and his ego want to show everyone that he's the best offensive mind in football. Does that make sense?
No, we didn't go away from the running game this week. I think that they're embracing the running game. It is what we are now. I think that the thing that stood out, and we touched on it Sunday afternoon, this two quarterback system thing is a failure. You know, there's a very, very easy axiom that said, oh, if you don't, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, right? You don't see anybody else at any level of football embracing consistently some type of two quarterback approach. It's just, can you imagine? I'll put it like this. Imagine the Saints either in the offseason, let's say something doesn't work out with Jameis, which I'm not intimating that's going to be the case.
Right, but
let's say we signed Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. Would you be okay with Taysom Hill poaching quarterback snaps from either of those?
I wasn't okay with him poaching from Brees.
Yeah, I mean, he did it. he did it. That's why I don't agree with James's premise, because he did it with Breeze too. Like, I don't know that Breeze had any kind of say so. I think maybe he could check plays, you know, at the line a little bit more, maybe call his own plays every now and then. But I don't think that there's a, quote, reining in of Peyton. Like, it's – he's going to do what he's going to do. And that's
– yeah, Peyton has always kind of been like this.
Peyton likes to show off. He likes to show off. He likes to get cute. That's the exact same thing I said on Sunday. He likes to get cute. He likes to kind of – do it with a flourish, and that's just not necessary. The stuff is not necessary.
The Taysom interception was a perfect example of that, right? Where Peyton thought he was gonna, it was no need for a trick play or no need for a gimmick, no need to be cute. Your offense was moving the ball. You just had a beautiful pass that was would have been a touchdown had not been called back for holding, and that would have won the game, by the way. So he tries it again, but with another guy.
Well, I think it's wholly unfair to Jameis too, because it's human nature where every single, and I was paying attention to this a lot being in the game, being in the dome on Sunday, looking at the substitutions every play, looking at who's coming in and coming out. You know, Jameis has got to see Taysom Hill running towards the huddle, and his heart has got to sink every time, because you don't know if this guy is coming in to play slot or H-back or if he's coming to take your quarterback snaps.
He took our job.
Yeah. And it fucks up his rhythm. And then, like I said, I'm an advocate of Taysom inside the 10, the Taysom inside the 10 offense. But even then, that's got to be discouraging, because these guys like to score touchdowns. It's not about their stats or anything. They just like to score touchdowns. They want to be a part of a touchdown. This guy comes in and starts poaching your touchdowns every drive.
Yeah, I honestly, now with especially Tony Jones' injury, I would just use Taysom as a battering ram and run game. I wouldn't even end up passing, but I wouldn't put him in quarterback at all. He had the quarterback competition for a reason. Jameis won for a reason. The reason you might have put Taysom in over Drew Brees in some snaps was because of the deep ball. You haven't got that problem anymore. Jameis can throw a deep ball. We've seen it. So they stopped taking the quarterback snaps away from Jameis.
This pains me to say, but I actually agree with Ben, because
that's exactly what
I was about to say. Like, you can almost see it with Breeze, because he couldn't throw the deep ball, whereas, I mean, you say Taysom can, his deep balls are like punts, basically. They go to Thomas Morstead, roof. And, you know, Peyton was kind of Jason's point. Peyton's always been like this. Before Taysom, if you remember, Peyton would start running. We'd be in a rhythm, and then all of a sudden he'd run like a double, triple reverse and lose like 10 yards. I mean, he's always been like this.
Now, you know, maybe you had Breeze changing the play, being more comfortable changing the plays more often when he comes out here, sees the defense and be like, we ain't doing this. Maybe Jameis just isn't at that, obviously not at that spot right now.
Right. And it's no secret that Sean Payton would consult with Drew Brees, in the game plan prep, as well as in the middle of the game. When he goes to the sideline, Drew Brees would call some plays too, or at least tell him what they wanted to do. Obviously, Peyton's not letting Jameis do that yet. I mean, Jameis isn't even allowed to sit next to Peyton on the bus yet.
But that's for another reason.
They're not at the same table at lunch.
Right. If you look at also, I mean, we are, to James's point, and I disagree with James about Gunn, you said it as your initial response, like, we didn't get away from the running game. We lost this game because we committed too much to the running game.
We lost this game because our defense sucked ass and gave up 400 passing yards.
You're right, but Jameis threw three meaningful passes in the entire fourth quarter of this game. We are throwing the ball 22 times per game. We used to run it a little bit less than that and throw it 44 times a game with Drew Brees. Drew Brees with a noodle arm, we were throwing the ball 44 times a game. With Jameis, we're throwing 22 times a game. Here's the thing, though. At the beginning of the season, when y'all were talking about the receiver problem, there's another Ben. This is your show. This is the Ben show. I think Ben was right all along talking about the receiver problem, because when you look at the 22, all of a sudden this year, the 22 view is like all of a sudden this thing that like it never existed before, but everybody's looking at the 22 play, right? The last game, the Giants game, when you look at the all 22, we rarely got separation. I can't say never. We completed a few passes, but our receivers are not getting separation. Part of Sean Payton's cuteness, part of Sean Payton reigning in Jameis Winston, or Jameis Winston holding the ball too long. We keep talking about Jameis, Sean Payton and Jameis. At the end of the day, what if it's the lack of confidence in the receivers, as Ben's been suggesting all along? And if Michael Thomas doesn't change that when he arrives, this whole season's gone.
This is why my prediction this is why my prediction at the start of the season was 10-7. Because I just don't think got the receiver power to win.
We're not getting separation. They're not getting, and Sean Payton used to be able to design plays that created separation.
I think there's a few things. I think one is the receivers, and I don't know that Payton, like you said, has the confidence in Jameis right now. And I don't know, because of that, I don't know that Jameis has the full confidence in himself. You see him kind of hesitate and try to and not throw into tight windows, because I think he's afraid that he's going to get scolded when he gets to the sideline. Like, Payton was pissed on that Callaway touchdown a few weeks ago, and I think that that's what Jameis is worried about. Like, he's almost scared to just let it go. They need to let Jameis be Jameis and just let him fling it a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, just to let him build that confidence so he sees I can hit these plays. Like, I don't need the wide receiver to be wide open. I can hit a tight window and get it in there. And once Michael Thomas comes back, they're going to need to take the leash off and do this, because if he doesn't do it when Michael Thomas comes back, well, then there's a serious Jameis and Payton problem.
If he does that and he throws a couple of picks as a result, are we all in agreement, and can the Houdat Nation and the media get in agreement that they're not going to bring up the 30 interceptions and say, oh, here we go, we told you so, and that it's really just a byproduct of throwing the ball deep too many times?
Nope. Thank you.
Look, when Thomas comes back, you hopefully are going to – the double coverage is going to go to Michael Thomas, and hopefully that will open some room up for some of these receivers. But can they get open on one-on-one coverage? Still to be shown. You know, Traquan is going to come back, but I really haven't got much confidence in Traquan Smith.
Traquan's going to come back, play a couple of games, and then get hurt again.
I think you'll never see him take a regular season snap in a Saints uniform again.
Oh my God.
That's way too bold. We're also enough.
We never saw Kamara in the passing game against the Giants either. Didn't catch one ball.
Really? Yeah, that's a problem. That. Somebody's got it. I mean, we have enough with Callaway, Harris, Juwan Johnson, Kamara. Somebody has got to be open at some point. And I mean, I don't understand how one of those four can't get open.
It's almost like
Taysom even. Put him in at a tight end. He catches every ball that's thrown to him, Taysom does. I don't think I've seen him drop a ball.
And then unless he takes it as a snap.
When we're getting out with this conversation.
Comes from a center.
But, you know, what's interesting too then is, why does it seem like our plays are taking too long to develop? Like, you're talking about, right, there's enough people where they could get open fast. And we know, again, looking at the all 22, there were times where, like, a guy was actually open, but it was too early in the play. Like, he wasn't even looking back for the ball because it wasn't the time for, you know, it wasn't the whatever, the time that Jameis would have thrown it. So he couldn't necessarily throw it. But why are we not having plays where a guy is open almost immediately, especially when we have a tattered offensive line?
Yes, we're talking about it. We're sitting here dissecting a deficiency in the passing game with a quarterback who's got over a 100 rating on the season. He's got 8 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. What the fuck do you – with our – Harris.
We're used to Drew Brees' offense where it's we get
Harris would be a Harris would be a jet sweep. Harris would be a jet sweep gimmick guy on any other team. That and kick returns would be the extent of his role, and you're asking him to be your number one fucking wide receiver. And then Marquez Callaway is your number two. He should be our number five.
Callaway's number one.
Thank you. I got so much shit from everyone when I was saying this couple
not
weeks
me.
Ago.
Not me.
Be patient, Ben.
I'm with you on the wide receivers. I've said it. James is the one that gave you shit.
And he's not here to defend himself.
That's why he's not here.
I was with James, and I'm not worried about the Callaway debate. What I am at least admitting I was wrong in the beginning is we have a bigger receiver problem than I thought we did.
It's now, criminal not taking one back in the draft.
Gun is right, but we're not going to rehash that right now because we, in the interest of time, Jason, you brought up, and Gun, you're right. Like, the offense isn't necessarily our problem in this past game. we have the best defense in the NFL, but did you know that we are averaging allowing 27 points? We've let up a total of 27 points in the fourth quarter. Our defense starts well. We only allow 6 to 7 points in the first and third quarters, but we are losing the game, if you will, in the fourth quarter. Our defense, maybe that's a depth problem, maybe that's a stamina problem, but we're not finishing strong.
We have no depth at defensive line right now. There's no
depth. That's your problem. Right,
yeah.
Your whole defensive line.
No sacks on Danny Dimes.
You can't
with
rotate
a shitty
guys.
Offensive line.
You can't rotate guys.
I mean, gave up 400 some yards, but we only, going, like you said, going in the fourth quarter, we'd only given up 10 points. And we gave up 11 in the fourth. So you gave up 10 in three quarters and an 11 in one quarter.
Then so another six in overtime.
Right. I mean, so there's obviously definitely an issue. And I don't know, like you said, if it's a stamina issue to where they're on the field too much. I agree with Gunn that there's really no depth at the defensive line. We should have dominated that Giants offensive line. And the fact that we didn't, that he threw that much, and that Saquon was able to run like that. Saquon hasn't run on anybody. He has been garbage all year because his offensive line was so shitty that they couldn't run on anybody. But he goes off against us like –
and he could not run on us in the first quarter, and we were getting pressure on the quarterback in the first quarter.
It's depth of the defensive line, man. We're not getting the rotations that we need for the players to get rest on the sideline. Cam Jordan, at his age, should not be playing every single snap, and you can see that in his performances.
And we have a Cam Jordan problem.
I do want to say it. I didn't want to say it.
No, it's unfortunate, but we do.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, he's been great for us for a long time. He's awesome in the community, but as a player, I mean, he's clearly not the same guy.
He's a rotation option now. That's why you drafted Turner.
It's not a knock on Cam.
I don't fault him.
Caught up with him. I mean, that's
what happens.
Right.
Is this his last year on contract?
I don't believe so. I believe he's got – because didn't we sign him to like a three-year extension like maybe a year or two ago?
What's the guy, Jake, on the Major League, the catcher, the main character?
He's probably got at least one more year now. I'm sure we're not going to keep him at whatever his cap figure is going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta get somebody to rotate in with him. Like we said, he's not an every-down player. He needs to – he'll be good if you – I mean, he'll be more effective. Yeah, he'll be more effective if you rotate him in more, but we just don't have the depth right now.
So, boy, if only we had Marcus Davenport.
Right. And Okafor.
Whew.
That's a Friday.
That's another thing. Like, when they come back, will we get Michael Thomas back about the same time? I mean,
it's
going to
be the tale of two seasons, not two halves, yes, right? I mean,
that could kind of lead into game preview a little bit, which I guess we'll talk about later. But we really have to be above 500 going into the break. Like, this Washington game is like as must win as it can get this early in the season.
One positive from the defense, I thought Pete Werner played quite well.
The defense is last in the league in sacks. Oof. And these are numbers that that's going to hurt the rest of the defense. So
I think you're right.
As we get reinforcements on both sides of the ball, that's the kind of like our only hope right now. Aside from that, I think we're looking at a yo-yo team. And it was funny that the announcers were talking about Sean Payton buying all those yo-yos and putting them in the locker room and telling them all week, let's not be a yo-yo team. And that's exactly what we ended up getting. We are yo-yoing our way through this season, and something has to change in order to fix that. Speaking of yo-yoing, I had a terrible week in Pick'ems last week or 2 weeks ago, but last week I did fairly well. Jason, let's get into Pick'ems.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control.
All right. So, because last week was kind of discombobulated for me in Pick'ems, I was in the car. I don't have the results for everybody here, but I'm pretty sure I did pretty poorly. I think I won one or two.
So Jason, you went 2-3. James, 4-1. Me and Scott also went 4-1. Wes went 3-2. Ben, you were 0-5. So you yo-yoed. Wow. You're at the bottom of the yo-yo.
That's pretty bad.
So overall, let's see.
Oh, you're leaving somebody out, Jeff.
Oh, I keep forgetting. Uncle Baby Billy. Let's see how he did this week.
He went 3-2.
He went 4-1.
4-1?
Yes, wow. He did, sir.
All right.
So he did better than Ben.
He did a lot better than Ben.
And Wes. Yep. Man, Uncle Baby Billy's doing pretty good. And what did he do? Did he take the card and run with it this time?
Yeah, he grabbed the cards when I wasn't looking and brought them to another room and took a nap with them. And I just came across him with the cards. It was
I don't need the catnip.
It was
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right. Yeah.
That's his, what would Romero say? That's his stone cold lead pipe lock of the week.
that we never even got to, right?
All right, in the larger league, so Ali Gibbs remains at the top of the list with a 750 win percentage. He's 15-5.
That's outstanding.
That's right? pretty strong.
I'll buy you a beer for that, Ali, at the weekend.
Ali Gibbs followed by Big Easy Gajon, then Scott, Trevor Bruno, Jake, Drew, me, followed by Uncle Baby Billy. I'm tied with Uncle Baby Billy on the league, y'all.
What's the record there?
11-9.
11-9.
Uncle Baby Billy is. Paul Perrette, Tom Ensign, James starts at 500, and then we enter the loser's bracket. Chris Farmer, until we get his picks in. Mr. Coach Klein, Neil, 9-11. Wes, 8-12. DeMail Man, Jambalaya Brothers, Sans Hobbs, Jason, 7-13. Carp, yeah. Drummer, and Ben at the bottom at 5-15.
Ooh, wow, no. Ben.
You are Jesus. 5-15, Ben. I want Ben to pick first so I can go opposite him.
Oh, God.
That's atrocious. Getting into this week's slate of games. There are a lot of shitty games this week. I honestly could have picked about two or three shitty games, but I went with one because it's going to be pretty fitting this week. But we will start off with an interesting game. It may not seem like a great game, but I just went by the records here. The Green Bay Packers, sitting at 3-1, have recovered after losing to the Saints in week 1. They travel to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team that is also sitting at 3-1 after beating Jacksonville on Thursday and sending Urban Meyer into a... So this game is in Cincinnati. The Bengals, I don't know if Joe Mixon may be a little banged up here, but the Bengals are getting 3 at home.
Easy, Packers.
Well, I guess that makes up my mind.
I mean, I have to go Green Bay here. I can't trust Cincinnati just yet. But I'm also bad at pick'em. So, hey, me and Ben are giving you guys something.
I know, right? So Wes is taking Green Bay as well. What does he know?
I'm rolling with Joey Bengals. B.
That's on brand. So far, y'all are making this hard for me. I'm going to go Green Bay on this one, though.
So you've already said that you've done what you said you weren't going to do.
I know what I said. This is the one. You did get 5 games, so this is one of the ones you'll get.
So that's everybody. So now we'll move on to the next game of the week. This is a really interesting game. Could be a future playoff preview. The Cleveland Browns. I believe they're sitting there at 3-1. They keep winning. They traveled to Los Angeles to play a Chargers team that had a nice win Monday night against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Chargers looking pretty good. Justin Herbert looking pretty good. A couple teams kicking themselves for passing on him. This game's in LA. The Chargers are only favored by 1.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers on this one.
Yeah, same.
In LA?
In LA. Yeah.
Chargers.
It'd be mainly Cleveland fans there, but I'm still taking the Chargers.
Wes is taking Cleveland.
I'm going to take Cleveland as well.
Right.
Oh, so Jess with me the Chargers.
I do have to laugh at that. The Chargers-Raiders game felt like a Raiders home game.
Well, that's what I saw somebody say. Like, they should kick the Raiders to L.A. and move the Chargers to Vegas. Because there's so many Raiders fans still in L.A. from when they were the L.A. Raiders.
Right. Classic NFL.
Anyway, Chargers just got fucked getting out of San Diego. So, all right, our next game. We're going to stay out west.
They'll go back.
The NFL is going to help them win to help build the fan base.
Ah, right. The San Francisco 49ers. They're sitting there 2-2. They travel to Arizona to play the last undefeated team of the year. Can you believe, coming into week 5, there's only one undefeated team?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I feel like every year there's at least a couple that go 6-0, 7-0 before the first loss.
I'd say 5-0 maybe, but usually 7-0, you 8-0. 7-0 is where I feel like you end up with one team left. So, right. In a league full of parity, but I let it be known at the beginning of the season, I did make a statement that I felt like Arizona was going to be the team to beat.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall that. We might need to play the tape.
I will find that. I'll listen to when I'm in the hospital, I'll listen to 15 hours of tape. Oh,
Jesus. Okay. So it's in Arizona, and the Cardinals are favored by 5.5.
Are they playing again?
Man, that's a lot.
Arizona They're favored by 5.5.
Cardinals. And the Cardinals, possibly no Jimmy G this week. That's probably why.
Oh, yeah. Looks like Trey Lance is going to play. Yeah, but that might work out better for them.
Give me the Cardinals.
I'm going to take the Cardinals as well.
All right. So everybody's taking the Cardinals around here.
What did Wes do?
He took the Cardinals.
All right. Yeah. Everybody's got Arizona.
You know what? I'll go with the Cardinals on this one. Just because if we lose, we all lose together.
Well, there you go.
Has Jeff picked every pick that Ben has picked thus far?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure I got
Ben,
that right.
This is your week.
All right. Our next game. This is going to be the game of the week. The streaking Buffalo Bills, after posting a shutout last week, travel to Kansas City, play a Chiefs team that has been scoring a lot of points, but also giving up a lot of points. It's a rematch of the AFC title game last year. This is in Kansas City. Chiefs favored by 2.5. I'll go first. Give me the Bills. I just don't think Kansas City's defense is good enough.
I am with you on that. And I'm looking at net point differential, and the Bills are by far outperforming the Chiefs.
Yeah, give me the Bills, please.
Yes, give me the Bills as well.
And Wes is taking the Bills.
Wow.
It's a Buffalo five-way.
All right.
And I can tell you, right now, I don't even have to wait. Jake's taking the Bills. It's his second favorite team.
And now our shitty London game of the week.
Here we go. I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's
I like how the NFL exports its shit to London.
Right.
Why are you still there, Jeff?
Whoa. Hey, fuck you.
So, sorry, London, but this is what you get stuck with. The New York Jets coming off their first win of the season last week. They traveled to London, as well as this other team, the Atlanta Falcons. After another loss, Atlanta looks bad. The Jets look bad. What stadium are they playing this one in, Ben?
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Okay.
The shithole.
The shithole. All right, there you go. Shitty game in the shithole. Atlanta's favored by 3.
So Atlanta's the home team.
Yes.
they are right at
home. They actually are.
Yeah.
So you know how Atlanta Stadium looks like a metal arsehole? Tottenham Stadium looks like a toilet bowl. Look above it. It looks like a toilet bowl. So
you almost wonder if this is done on purpose.
In the toilet bowl.
I'll take the Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets as well.
Reverse psychology. I'm going to go the Falcons.
Ooh.
God damn it.
That's what Jeff was going for as well, wouldn't you?
Yes. I am taking the Falcons. The Jets are getting points?
That's correct. That's
I'm taking the points in this. In a close match, this is going to be like a 3-3 game.
I'm looking forward to it. It's Falcons hate week over here.
So it's the one time where you have to take the under.
Uncle Baby Billy will not be proud.
Actually, you know what? These are some shitty defenses. I think.
I think we could see some points.
I think the over is going to hit.
With some shitty offenses too.
Yeah, like the Atlanta and the Jets. Like the Jets have scored 47 points this whole year.
Hey, there's a couple
Atlanta
of ex-Saints
scored 78, but Atlanta has allowed 128. So
a couple of ex-Saints coming to London. Sheldon Rankins and Thomas Morstead coming to London.
Oh yeah, Morstead. Y'all should get an interview with him again.
Oh. Yeah, look how his career's gone since then.
It's the Dome Patrol curse.
It's not been great. But we didn't get a game last year because of obvious reasons. And it's good to get a game again. A shame it is this one, but a game's a game.
All right. You'll
be grateful when you get them.
All right, everybody, that's your pickings. Make sure you get them in before the Sunday early kickoff in order to count.
So let me go ahead and repeat that. Green Bay at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is getting 3 at home. Cleveland at the Chargers. Chargers are favored by 1.5. San Francisco at Arizona. Arizona favored by 5.5. Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City is favored by 2.5. The Jets at Atlanta in the shitty toilet bowl game of the week. Atlanta is favored by 3.
All right, let's get into a quick Saints preview. And this week, Saints take on the Washington Red football team. And that's a noon kickoff Central Time. Ben, you're happy about that?
Well, no, I'm not actually.
Oh,
this is I'm why at the you other won't game, be on I? The
two-point conversion instant reaction show either.
Yeah, I'm at the toilet bowl, so I'll probably miss the first half.
Ah, okay.
Well, at least you'll get to see some of the game because I will probably not get to watch any of the game this weekend.
What's happening to you?
I'm going down to Florida. I'll be at Epcot. I'll make sure to stop off in the UK and get a drink, but I may be able to watch some on my phone and follow it on the phone. Yeah, but that's
put
it
on your phone.
But that's it. But wow. I'm still going to call into the instant reaction show with not having seen the game because that should be fun.
He'll know whether we won or lost by that
point. Right.
All right, Scott, we're going to have to carry the instant reaction this week.
I'm on it.
So you know, Washington does have some playmakers on offense after our lack of pressure this week. Taylor Heinicke kind of scares me a bit because he can extend plays with his legs even when we do get some pressure on him.
And I believe, didn't he play well against us last year? Wasn't that his first game or something last year when we played him, or the year before? I remember him doing really well against us at some point.
He hadn't played us.
You're probably thinking of Kirk Cousins when they almost beat us a couple years ago.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that's last time I played him was in the Dome. Last time I played him was the Breeze record game.
Yeah, I agree. He extends a lot of plays, which is kind of scary for our defensive line. But like I said before, this game is must win. I mean, you have to go into your bye above 500. Because after your bye, you go to Seattle, and we are not going to be favored in that game.
Seattle aren't great.
Right. It's okay if we're not favored. The key is I don't know that it's a must win just because I think we're getting so many guys back after this week. Now, it would be a lot better to be 3-2, but I don't think it's the end of the world.
If you lose and you're 2-3, you're going to be fighting to get to 500 against Seattle, and then I don't remember who we play after that. I mean, you're going to be fighting 500 the rest of the season if you don't get above 500 now.
Yeah, I agree. You have to win this game. We should win this game if we prepare correctly, because am I correct that Antonio Gibson is hurt?
He may be dinged up slightly, but they have J.D. McKissic, who's a good running back out the backfield. He scored in their win last week against the Falcons. So even if Gibson's out, McKissic is pretty solid.
Their defense is awful this year.
Which is crazy. Their defense was projected to be like top 5, top 10 in the league, and their defense has been shit. So that is the one hope for this game. If we can unleash our offense a little bit, their defense has been pretty damn bad.
And it's on that horrible, horrible field. Injuries galore. So I expect a couple of Saints to get carted off.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it.
It's just the worst place to go and play.
Is Armstead playing? Because he won't last the game.
I'm guessing Armstead will not be playing. I don't know that
it'll be Hurst versus Young.
I mean, I don't know that we're going to get anybody back this week.
No.
I know there was some video about Traquan, but
he said 2 weeks is what he said. So I'm assuming he meant after the bye.
After the bye, yeah. We're going to start getting guys after the bye. So now we're still.
This is what we talked about at the beginning of the year. Like, we needed to be at least 500 or above 500 going into the bye. Like, if you're above 500 going into the bye and we get people back in weeks, you know, the next week, we'll be hopefully sitting pretty.
I mean, yeah, but I don't think it's imperative. It would be nice, but it's not the end of the world because we're getting all these other guys back.
So Washington is letting up about 60-61% completion rate. They're letting up 100 yards rushing per game, actually more than 100, but I think with the Saints run heavy attack, that bodes a little well for our offense. It's really the game. I'm actually putting this game, the question mark is on the defense. Can they play full four quarters?
And can, you know, can we get off to a good start and Peyton let Jameis sling it a little bit?
Mm-hmm. It's like that ball control offense has to work. Our defense needs the rest, right? We need long sustaining drives. So we have too many three and outs.
Well, but hold on. But the Saints won time of possession last week. We still controlled the game.
Maybe the fact that when the times that we did have multiple three and outs back to back hurt us, you know, it's not the overall time of possession, but at the worst possible time that you could not give your defense rest, the Giants capitalized on that. And I mean, that's part of, I mean, that's end game management, I guess.
The way that we have it set up right now, where we're trying to have ball control, kind of rely on our defense, there's such a thin margin of error, and like Peyton is walking that bitch with a fucking unicycle. Like, that's the problem when you have Taysom plays where he's throwing the ball. Like, you cannot afford interceptions like that the way our team is built right now, and Peyton needs to come to that realization real quick. Like, we can't afford mistakes. You know, he's afraid about Jameis throwing interceptions, but fucking you're letting Taysom throw the ball up for grabs. I mean, we have got to limit any kind of turnovers, mistakes. We can win the turnover battle. We can win games. It's the same thing against New England. If we win the turnover battle, we can win this game. And that line is so thin right now with the way we're playing, the way this is structured to rely on our defense and to have ball control, we can't afford turnovers.
So the funny thing is, it's an interesting contrast that we are, you know, our two primary issues with Sean Payton seem to be that he's too conservative and too risky at the same time. He's too conservative because he's calling more run plays than pass plays. He's too risky because when he does call pass plays, they're Taysom Hill throwing interceptions.
Right. He has to be conservative right now because of the wide receiver situation. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. And I fully, hopefully, and expect him to open it up once we get people back. But right now, he's his own worst enemy. He's got to fight those demons, those voices inside of his head. He's got to fight them and just do what the game plan is and not fucking go crazy and do some cute shit.
All right.
We'll see.
All right, score prediction.
I think I'll go first. I'm going to go for a 17-9 victory for the Saints. It's going to be a boring slugfest. Two poor teams.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 27-24. Our new kicker kicks a last second field goal to win the game.
And maybe the Saints old kicker struggles. The Washington still has Hopkins. Apparently he's had some issues. So maybe he misses one. Maybe our new kicker makes one. I'm going to go 31-28. Saints.
All right. I'm going to go 27. I was going to say 24, so I'll say 21 Saints. I don't see the Washington's not kicking a field goal, but whatever. It's not like we put money on this.
There you go.
Bottom line is, I think this is like a 3-4 point game.
Weren't we starting to keep track of our score predictions from last week?
Yeah, you were. You were driving.
Wait, what? Oh, I was supposed to do that?
Yeah, that's your job.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You're
never mind.
Score prediction guy.
Edit that out.
All right, final thoughts, everybody.
Let's just go out and get his win. Go ahead, get the win and get out into the bye and get healthy. Who that?
Yeah, I wonder if you know, the players knowing that they get the week off next week, they're really going to go in. You know, somebody's going to light a fire under their ass because last week was just disgusting. And look, it's Washington. Washington ain't that good. I don't want to lose to fucking Washington.
Neither were the Giants.
Let's go in there and get Let's go in there and get it done. Get into the bye 3-2. And shit, I want to have a happy Sunday. My Sunday is going to start off happy. I don't want it to end sad.
Right. The Saints almost killed me Sunday.
I'd like a happy Saturday as well. Just throw it in there.
Wrong show.
Yeah. Look, fingers crossed, Saints can win. I'm going to enjoy myself. It's Falcons hate week over here already. So lot of 28-3 jokes would be flying around. And yeah, come on the Saints and come on the Jets.
All righty. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Network of Podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger _ Podcast, and at Dome Patrol Prim. Do y'all use that, Ben? Do y'all tweet on that?
Yeah.
That sounded convincing.
Do you not follow us?
Huh? Yeah, I do.
Do you not follow us?
Yeah, but I don't see anything when I do. Uh-huh. Maybe, yeah, I haven't engaged enough. Follow us on Facebook and check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to participate in game day chats with the Dome Patrol Podcast, you can send us a DM on Twitter for an invitation to join our Discord server. We've been doing that all season long, and we got a few listeners, fans, friends who are in there, and it's a rousing conversation without Twitter's overreaction. It's our own overreaction. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Podcast.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, liver donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
My name is Yo-Yo. I'm not a one.